Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 198 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. Beginning in entertainment, Steve's going to give his quick spoiler-free thoughts on Morbius, and then we'll roll into a bunch of video game news with E3 and PlayStation's big announcement. Then we'll jump into tech, where, of course, we'll talk a little bit about crypto, a major hack that took place there, some state-sponsored NFTs, and then discuss some news around Elon and space. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, episode 198. And this was an episode that I was looking forward to recording just because I really wanted to go see the Morbius movie, and I expected the two of us to be able to shit on it together in what is always one of my favorite segments is when we both dislike a movie, and I don't always get to go see them. I had plans to go see it Sunday night. Something happened for me at work. I had to travel for work and wasn't able to go see it. So now we just get you to probably shit on it. I'm assuming you're shitting on it. I haven't seen anybody shit on this movie.
I mean, I could, like, really go ham on it if I wanted to, but it wasn't like a huge steaming pile of dung. It was a little slow.
Now, is this because, like, you know, one of the parts where, like, you went into it with such low expectations that now you kind of give it a little space?
I mean, it met my low expectations, like, let's put it like that, but it wasn't like a total, like, why did you make this movie? The acting in it was pretty good. It just wasn't a very interesting story or a very interesting character. Like, you could pretty much have wrote this movie yourself if somebody showed you the numerous trailers that you saw during the pandemic and all of its delays. Yeah. And, you know, like, and that's the thing. I think when you delay these movies for so long, it's, you gave yourself all this extra time. How'd you not make it better? you gave it all this extra time. It was sitting in the can. You couldn't have watched it a couple more times and been like, ah, maybe we put this scene back in, or maybe we tweak this. And it's like,
after all that time, that's the best they had.
Yeah, it's sad that that's the best they could do. It wasn't anything that I would rush to the theater to see. Like, I don't blame anybody for not going and seeing it. But when it comes out on fucking some streaming service or whatever, I mean, go ahead and watch it. It wasn't absolutely horrible. I just don't, you know, it's like one of those things where if Guardians of the Galaxy was bad, it's like, why'd you make this movie? Who are these people? You know, but if it's good, it's like, oh wow, he took all these no-name characters and made this great fucking film, and you get all these accolades for it. It's kind of like the coin flip of Guardians. It's like, why'd you choose Morbius? Like, why do this? They show Michael Keaton in the trailers, you know, so you know that they're doing some multiverse shit with it.
Yeah,
that ends up not being really clear, like, what the fuck is going on with it, so you don't even get, like, a hardcore MCU bonus. Yeah, I don't know, it just wasn't done well. And I don't know if you could do it well. Like, I don't know, like, what you would have added to the movie to bring some more excitement to it, to get me to care about the characters, to, you know, it just exists in my eyes. It's just there.
Yeah, I still actually want to go see it just because I am curious. I don't know. Will this hopefully slow down this desire to just want to churn out these movies of sympathetic bad guys and the origin stories of the villains, because we've burnt through most of the superheroes. I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean, have we burned through most of the superheroes, though? Or are we just, like, burnt? Are we tired of putting effort into doing the major characters right? You know, like, there's still a lot left on the table for Marvel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Even though they've done so much, there's still a lot left on the table. And to, like, dig deep into the deep cuts of fucking of characters. Not to mention, they try to make him out to be like a hero, and I don't know that much about Morbius, but from my recall, he's a Spider-Man villain. Like he's a bad guy. You know, so they like they make him like a sympathetic
part of like the Sinister
anti-hero.
Six?
Yeah, like they make him like this anti-hero too, which I didn't like. I was like, when's he gonna go off the edge? You know, like when's he gonna go off the deep end?
You know, and this is where we lack, you know, some of like the deep cuts in the comic books. I bet you there's a run in the comic series where he is kind of an anti-hero, right? Like he's maybe more like a Venom at some portion of an arc somewhere in there where he's a redeemable villain.
When they package the toy, is it like you don't get anti-hero when you package the toy? You get villain or hero. Which one they package you at?
I wouldn't
recommend anyone rushing to see it. Just wait till it comes on streaming service. Give it a go. It's worth this finding out how they did it just to have these kinds of conversations. Other than that, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, the only thing I haven't done it yet. I'll probably go watch like the leaked credit scene if I don't go see it in the theater, just because everybody keeps talking about it. It's like the dumbest end credit scene that has no real purpose or tie-in. And now I kind of want to see the movie just because I want to earn that credit scene.
Yeah, I mean, I sat through it and I was just like, okay, like really, like okay, like I didn't feel like I gained anything from sitting in my chair that extra 3 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we can move on from Morbius there, and let's discuss some other entertainment news. Really not much in the realm of movies and comics and things right this second. So let's just talk about video games. And we've got news this week that E3 in 2022 is officially canceled. You know, there was not going to be a physical one. They obviously didn't have a convention center. They didn't have anything like there was not going to be a physical one. And they've just said, nah, no thanks. We're not going to do a digital one either. We'll see you guys in 2023.
Which to me is like, that's insane, man. This is the video game convention, like the tech convention. You know, and I understand with COVID and everything that they, you know, scale back, do virtual, fucking, but they at least tried. And now that we're, you know, pray to God at like the home stretch of COVID, like we don't really talk about it on the news anymore. Like we don't like I feel like all of society is like peeking their head out of the COVID hole, looking around like, is it safe? Can we come out? Like, so now that we're at that point for them to just be like, yeah, fuck it, we're not doing anything. Man, it kind of shocked me, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I think what kind of told me was they made the decision to not lock on the venues and do all the stuff for the physical a while ago, right? So they're locked into the fact they couldn't turn it on physical at this point in time, which is a shame. Like there's all kinds of conventions and things going on in this country right now. Like it's not that big of a deal, but obviously they made the decision early. And what it tells me is that like the digital ones that they did, they weren't worth the effort and the cost probably to produce it and put it together. Like, you know, you're not bringing in any revenue. You're not selling
tickets. Well, how much of this is all the independents going, well, if we're just going to submit a digital video for people to watch, we'll do our own press conference.
We'll do it on our own YouTube channel and we'll tweet about it ourselves. Like, and I think that's what it says more of, is that like there is no the digital conventions. Well, like during COVID, when nobody had anything else, like they were marginally successful, at least just driving some information and hype. But now, like it would just be dead noise. It would be a waste of their time. They're going to spend a ton of money and effort trying to market it and get it out there. And in the end, it's probably just a loser for them. So cut your losses. See you in 2023.
Yeah. Like we'll see if it makes it back. You know, like these companies might just say why, you know, we figured out a way to survive without needing you. It's might be one of those things that just don't come back, like toll booth operators, like that nice cushy that nice cushy government job collecting change, that's never going to exist anymore. Like I hope you got your pension, because you ain't coming back to work. Like same thing with this. Like I don't know if especially the majors, the Xbox, the PlayStation, the, you know, even a lot of these studios are getting bought up by Xbox and PlayStation. So like Bethesda isn't going to have their own one. You know, Blizzard already does their own con. So how does this con come back if these major game companies or game developers are just like, well, we did our own thing. We got some good feedback. We liked having the hits on our own YouTube channel. It brought an audience to a space that we've been trying to promote for years. Like, yeah, no thanks, E3. And this thing just fucking dies.
It might, but I actually doubt that. I think there's still going to be enough a draw for E3. It's still going to be a big collection when it goes back in person for people to get all the press together, have all articles written about whatever they're doing. Yeah, we're Sony and
where else are you going to show off your new sex robot?
Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's still going to exist. Maybe Microsoft and Sony, maybe they skip, but they probably won't because it's still going to be a big hype thing. They're already locked on to do it in Los Angeles next year. I think it's still going to happen. We'll see if it just scales back a little bit, but let's talk about a little other video game news. And PlayStation now has announced that they've got a competitor of sorts to Xbox's Game Pass. And, you know, this has always been a big criticism you've had as you're an Xbox maxi. And always critical
of Xbox is like the beta program for PlayStation. Xbox, like, it's so funny to me that, like, all the PlayStation fans, they just rip on Xbox and they hate it so much. But they have no problem with their favorite console just being 6 to 8 months behind, you know, year behind on this, over a year behind on developing, you know, new innovative ways to game and things like that. They're, you know, other than VR, they're really not leading the charge in the consoles on any kind of like development.
Yeah. Well, but at least they're giving their gamers and fan base here.
It's like they scroll the comment sections for every like Xbox defense and then just do that a year later. It's like,
I mean, it's not a bad plan.
No, it's actually now that I think about it, it's really it's really not that bad of a plan. But like they just scroll like the comment threads and every time someone's like PlayStation's the best, you know, Xbox fans just come back and say, yeah, you guys got video games and you guys got a good console, but we got Game Pass and I love Game Pass. Game Pass is the shit. Like, da 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 da, I get this, I get that. And then a year later, finally, they're just like, all right, cool, fuck it, we'll make a Game Pass. All right, cool, fuck it.
Well, you know, this one gives a couple different options. You know, it's got a tiered approach.
It's a three-tiered, three-tiered approach.
Yeah. It gives you different benefits based off of how much you want to pay. Whether it's
if you ain't paying for the extra money to play those PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, like,
then that's the thing. Yeah. You got to
go
pay
sit down, Zoomer. Go sit down, Zoomer.
Yeah, you got to pay either $18 a month or $120 a year to get the plus premium or whatever it is. It gives you all of the benefits of the lower tiers, but then also, yeah, it gives you the cloud streaming of a bunch of PlayStation 2, all the way up to PlayStation 4 games, including, like, you know, all of the God of Wars and the Spider-Man games and all that stuff. So it's just like Game Pass, right? It's worth the cost. If you game at all, well, for that price, you get to then drastically increase the amount of games that you can play.
I mean, if you're a long-time PlayStation player and you've already played those games and beat them, I could see not wanting to go back. But I've always been Team Xbox. I've had random PlayStations. You know, I skipped 4. I think I had a 3. You know, so like for me to go back and play a lot of the franchises that I just didn't get to play is a big bonus to me. But if you've always been about PlayStation, like, because I didn't see anything in there about them. I don't think they're doing any day one releases like Xbox is. So there's no like real incentive to have the big premium package to get, you know, some day ones on there. So I don't know. But it's cool that they have a tier for everyone. You know, Game Pass is just buy it or don't. you know, and you get all this shit, and if you use it, you use it. If you don't, you don't. They're giving their customers some options, you know, pick the package that's best for you to your budget.
Yeah. Let's see how it works. I think in the end, it's going to do well. It's really centered around a lot of cloud gaming, which, you know, Xbox Game Pass also has cloud gaming. You don't have to bother downloading the games or whatever else. You can just play it. It seems to work pretty well. I've done some of the cloud gaming, and it streams just fine. Every once in a while, I'll have some lag issues or some screen distortion and stuff when I'm playing the cloud gaming. As long as PlayStation's network can hold up, it's a win. It's a win for people willing to buy it. But let's keep in a little more video game news. Talk about one that's deeply disappointing. There was like probably a big audible nerd sigh this week when the news came out, and Nintendo released an announcement that Breath of the Wild, the sequel, is now delayed to 2023. Originally, they were planning it for by the end of this year.
I mean, if you really didn't expect this game to get delayed, like, I mean, every major game gets bare minimum three delays. So if you've only got one delay so far, don't hold your fucking breath. There's another one coming. You know, this doesn't shock me. It is disappointing, but like I said, I don't understand why they even give you target dates and years at this point. Just when the game is 3 months ready, you know, in 3-4 months to be released, which is damn near fully fucking developed. You know what I mean? Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Like, if you're only halfway done with the game, and you're like, we should be done with it in a year and a half. Like, bro, I think you're projecting a little too far out. I think there's a number of problems that could happen, you know, in between developing the second half of this fucking game where you might have to backtrack on those words. So, like, just get in the habit of just quit setting people's hopes up and quit, you know, tell us it exists. Be like, hey, we're working on this new game. We have no fucking clue when we're going to give it to you, but we're working on it. We're going to get it out there as fast as we can because we need our, you know, the profits from it anyways.
We pretend like we would like that transparency, but at the same point, there'd be just as many people complaining about not having a timeline, not understanding like the overall plan here for the stuff. So there's no way to satisfy all the nerds.
But those are the shitty people that I really don't care about. Like, if you are that demanding of your entertainment companies, go fuck yourself. Like, go read a book. Go read a fucking book. You know, we're past the 8-bit and 16-bit days. These people are putting together fucking entire digital movies and landscapes, and like, I can't expect, you know, this immersive fucking world that like, one, not only did they have to design it on a computer and get it to look that way, but like, you come up with a map. You think of a map. Draw me a fucking land right now with villages and caves and fucking, you know, like Elden Ring and shit. Like, draw me a fucking full scale map and give it some landscape and some depth and some design. Like, tell me how long that fucking takes you just to come up with a fucking landscape. And then you have to actually render it and blah, blah, blah. Like, like, chill the fuck out, man. They're making the game. It's ready when it's ready.
All right. Well, that's it for entertainment this week. Let's jump over into tech and start in NFTs and crypto. Why not? And this week had one of the biggest heists of cryptocurrency that we've seen. $615 million worth of crypto stolen in Ronin. So Ronin is the cryptocurrency that backs the Axie Infinity, which Axie Infinity is like a pretty fascinating project. It's an NFT project where it's a video game that you play as the avatars, which are NFTs that you have to purchase and own the NFTs to play the game. And then Ronin is the cryptocurrency that backs it. And like, Axie Infinity it's like proving the concept of these play-to-earn video games, these cryptocurrency NFT video games, really doing well. But here, you know, they had $615 million worth stolen because some hackers were able to find the private keys. Somehow they were able to find the private keys for some wallets or a wallet and essentially drain it. What's kind of concerning is the fact that Axie Infinity, like, they lost this volume of cryptocurrency And they didn't notice for a while. Like,
yeah,
you would think that that would like trigger some level of alarms, some level of like immediate reporting.
Bro, I get an alert from my bank if you spend more than $100 on my account. You, someone charges more than $100 on my account, I get a fucking text message from my bank. You know, like, how do we not have like these kinds of security things involved with our crypto? In which this is another thing about crypto that is really kind of makes it the Wild West, is that someone robs Chase of $615 million. The government comes right back in and refunds it to make sure everybody's ATMs still work and this and that. A Ronin gets hit for $615 million. Bye. Yeah. Like, bye. Good luck getting that money back. Good luck keeping your project going. Like,
yeah. And they're watching the wallets. I saw some articles today. Like, people are tracking today or yesterday was like the first time you could start to see that money leaving the wallet that stole it and start to send it other places. So they're starting to try to distribute the funds. There's nothing really anybody can do about it. Maybe they can just track it and hopefully find somebody slipping up like that couple that was arrested for the Bitcoin thief. So hopefully, maybe somebody slips up somewhere down the road and they lose their anonymity with their cryptocurrency, but more than likely they're going to wash this.
I'm just wondering, like,
all over the place, and they're going to get out.
What the human error in this heist was, like, because it wasn't some coding fucking thing. Like, what Discord manager did they give authority to that just is a total dipshit?
Yeah, I haven't seen. I was looking for it, but I didn't see anything that specifically said how the private keys for the account was stolen or found. Did they just have it printed out somewhere and the cleaning person found it?
I just don't understand, like, at this point in this day and age, how anybody clicks links that you aren't like 1,000% sure is exactly what like how do you not treat every link like the dirtiest truck stop hooker and you got to do it with no condom? Like, how do you not just walk into every situation like, I don't know. I think I'm not gonna touch this one. Like how do you live your life just raw dogging shady links? Like, it's no big fucking deal. I don't understand it, man. Cause like I get the text messages and the spam on my phone all the time, your Amazon purchase has been, blah, blah, blah. Please click this link to verify. Your bank account has some undue charges. Please click the link. And I look at them and I see them and I laugh like, you stupid motherfuckers. And I delete the text. But then for a little bit, I sit there and think, like, that just went out to 50,000 people. There's one fucking moron that's just going to go, oh shit, my package, and click the link, and I just don't understand how we're still in a day and age that people will click that and not wait for a secondary verification from the company or do their due diligence and Google the actual company's phone number and call in and verify from a representative that this is a real, like, I just don't get how people just hit it raw, man. Like that toothless fucking truck stop hooker that comes to your phone in the form of a fucking link and you're just like, let it ride. Like, what's this be about? I don't get it. I don't know if it's a generational thing, because I'm assuming it's a lot of old people that fall for this. Like, I don't think our dad's generation is doing very well to protect themselves from phishing hacks.
There's a whole lot of very young degens out there.
If you're a millennial or a zoomer and you're still clicking them links, man, that's a little fucked up. You a brave motherfucker.
Well, we can go ahead and talk about what could be another bad link situation. Who the hell knows? There hasn't really been any information yet on why, but so there was a Bored Ape that sold this last week for $115.
This is insane.
Instead of 115 ETH, which would be about $350,000. This story is just, it's a weird one. It seems almost scammy, like tax evasion scammy more than like
it's hard to believe that this person made
this mistake. It's when you dig into it, like sometimes it's like, okay, well, somebody gave, people do this all the time, like even on some NFTs I own, people will offer me other currency in what would be a reasonable ETH offer, but it's really only worth like a couple dollars is what they offer. I get these offers all the time. So maybe you can mistake it, click on a bad offer, but you still, like, there's multiple layers and times that you have to accept this transaction. It's hard to believe that somebody gets through all of those layers and authorizes the DAI coin, then authorizes the sale. Like, that's a lot of incompetence.
You're making a more than a $250,000 transaction, and you're not crossing the T's and dotting the I's? Like, what the fuck?
So it's very possible that this person is just wildly incompetent and does not deserve to be responsible.
It could have been a drunken Russian oligarch's son. Yeah, like 100%. Like some drunken Russian oligarch's son trying to make money moves. Like, yeah, like I don't put it
what
past
makes it
that.
Seem, what makes it seem scammier is the fact that this same person also owned a Mutant Ape, right? Mutant Apes have a floor, ETH floor of, you know, a little over 20. So still like $75,000 worth for a Mutant Ape. And within minutes, also sold a Mutant Ape to the same person on another $25 offer instead of 25 ETH offer.
And that's what makes it so the fact makes that this me think it's a scam.
It's 100%. Like, it's either, what it makes it look like is either somebody got in control of his wallet, right? And then just controlled it and sold both of his assets to the same, to that person's burner account or whatever else. Or maybe it is like tax evasion. Maybe this person just,
the only way I can think
of tax
evasion,
a healthy $400,000 loss.
Yeah, so they could claim the losses like on their
right,
taxes
and
like,
not have to pay taxes on it as a win. Maybe it's a possibility. Either way, it seems fishier than when I first saw it, and I thought it was just incompetence and somebody just clicked on a bad, bad offer. When you dig into it, it looks a little scammier. So I don't know. All I know is this person hasn't come out and said anything. I wouldn't either if I was there.
There's no shit.
But let's keep rolling with a little more crypto news, NFT news. But we've got Britain announcing this week that they are going to mint their own NFT, and they're also, it came out with a bunch of public statements about cryptocurrency, right? This is following 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago was the executive order by Biden, Great Britain's not to be outdone, and they said that they are looking to lead the way in crypto regulation as a whole. So they're pushing towards like legal recognition of DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, which is right now, it's a tough thing for DAOs. DAOs are structuring and making businesses and stuff like that, but there's almost no way for them to legally organize, right, and pay their taxes and do everything else. They kind of have to use older structures like S-Corps and stuff like that in order to, or nonprofit organizations or something else in order to kind of roll their DAO under. So Britain's trying to make it legal for them to do that. They're looking at doing their own central bank digital currency. They're creating an NFT by the government that they're looking to distribute this summer. And then one of the interesting ones is they're also looking at the application of using blockchain in the issuing of debts. So like government-backed debts, loans, and things coming out of Britain, doing it on the blockchain, on the open ledgers, probably using central digital currency. So that's a lot of steps forward that they just came out and said that they're looking at doing all of it.
Yeah, this just scares me because, you know, anytime the government gets into shit like this, it's not for the benefit of the community. It's going to be for the benefit of the government. So, like, they can polish this up however they want it to say, you know, this is going to help with this. It's going to help with that. But really, you know, I'm always just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, what backdoor surveillance and what, you know, what kind of control are you trying to instill on, you know, a mass population?
Yeah, I mean, there's always that concern and thoughts as far as what dark corner can they take this to. But I also think it's always good and bad, right? It's good for the space. It's good for the space for the greater legitimacy. Like, honestly, I think...
So, I would traditionally like to assets, see... To see, like, some regulation and some like, rules set in place for crypto, but I don't want to see governments getting involved in crypto. Like, I want it to stay as much of a free market as we possibly can keep it, but with some smart and thought-out, you know, regulations in place to protect investors and protect consumers. You know, like, there's no need for a government to run anything.
I mean, like I said, I think there's got to be a natural progression as this becomes more legitimate. And ultimately, like, the government's going to dip their hands into these things. But I want government to look at blockchain and crypto assets in, like, debt and the issuing of debt and home loans and government-backed debts. I think that there's a lot of, like, interesting and progressing use cases for that. So you can't. I don't think we're ever going to get a perfect solution, but I think we do need solutions. And at least, whatever, this is a major country, definitely a major player in, like, financial markets.
But to me, if I got to invite the bad in to get some of the good things about blockchain technology and associated with government, I would rather them stay out of it. You know, it's you know, you can invite your friend over, but you still ask them to take off their shoes. You know what I'm saying? And, like, the government ain't taking off their shoes. Them puddly ass motherfuckers are gonna walk in and trash your fucking carpet and do whatever the fuck they want with it. Like if they were gonna come to the door and take off their shoes, all right, cool, come to the party. But government don't take off their shoes, man. Like, you're fucked. Like, they come in, they wreck shop.
All right, well, you all now know what your expectation is when you're invited over to the Nerd Cantina home. Yeah. You better take off your shoes. either way, like I said, let's see where this goes. In the end, like, nothing was decided by this. It was just a very strong statement, even stronger than what the United States came out with as far as what the future kind of investigations towards uses of cryptocurrency. This expands on that. So let's just see where the conversation continues. Let's see what their research and what, you know, Britain comes back on. And I'm really curious to see what their NFT looks like in the summer that they said that they're going to launch.
Yeah, like, it's gonna be some picture of the old ass queen, you know it.
Like, for sure,
it's gonna be the old ass queen.
All right, but all right, let's get out of cryptocurrency. Let's talk a little other nerd news. We got some Elon news here.
This is kind of a big deal.
Cybertruck dead. Cybertruck is a rug. Everybody who put money into it got rugged. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they cut those Benjis back to anybody? Like, returned. They just burned in that $100.
No, they've already returned all the deposits. So deposits are returned. Cybertruck has been officially canceled. And, you know, they just cited it because of the development costs and everything else that's exceeding their original budget for it. And they don't see the Cybertruck being a viable business opportunity anymore.
Well, like, duh, no shit, motherfucker. You tried to make, like, a goddamn Mars rover for Earth and shit, and we didn't need all that. Like, especially when, like, I just bought a new company truck for my company. If I had all the money in the world to do so, I would have got one of them Ford Lightnings. You know, fucking looks like a pickup truck. It's an electric goddamn pickup truck. Doesn't have fucking stainless steel body. Doesn't have bulletproof fucking windows. It's just a fucking truck with no engine. Like, it's all the world asked for. The world just asked for a new model, kind of like Tesla, you know, just like, hey, the cars are great. The little mini SUV is great. I would like a work vehicle that's electric. Could you provide that? And fucking Elon's like, yeah, sure. Here's this thing. And everyone's like, nah, what? Like, what? You had hardcore nerds put $100 bills down to encourage them to keep moving forward with it because everybody wanted this fucking weird ass geometric isotope to drive around. And fucking, like, it just, yeah, it didn't pan out. And I honestly think it's just because, like, who's going to buy that when you can get the Ford Lightning, you know, Chevy and every other car company in the next 3 years is going to come out. Yeah. Like, that Lightning's got some cool-ass perks and some cool-ass things.
And even the article talks about, like, the fact that it's only really such a huge deal because of what a, like, public shit show this was, but it did kind of force a electric truck kind of development, right? It kind of forced Ford's hand into doing the F-150 Lightning, which is a better, more affordable.
We got the truck fucking electric Hummer with the what the fuck button, you know, yep. the Watts to Freedom button. Yeah, so it did. Again, he did innovate a path. I
forgot about that.
I didn't forget about that, motherfucker.
Yeah,
that thing's gold. Yeah, so like again, he did drive the car industry forward by developing this. But is that as a business? Like, I don't think any Tesla shareholders are championing that kind of like. Excuse, like they wanted to push out a fucking truck and make some money. They didn't give a fuck about advancing technology.
If you're a Tesla shareholder, you should be happy that they killed the Cybertruck, because this wasn't going to be a moneymaker, right? Like this wasn't a big moneymaker. What they're saying that they can use kind of the shift in focus is on their electric delivery vans that they're building, which like that's a moneymaker, right? Like, and you start selling the electric delivery vans to UPS and to the post office and to, right? When you start doing that, that's a moneymaker, not Cybertruck. So that's shareholder perspective. Like, I'd be happy. I think it's a better focus, but it's just disappointing. Like, I was hoping at least some of these trucks would be hitting the road.
Elon,
you know what I mean?
Elon's
like,
he's very practical and pragmatic. So, you know, I don't think he's going to take this as a shame. He's just going to say, look, I tried, had some cool ideas. Didn't work out. Cutting our losses. Let's move on. I got to go to Mars.
Yeah.
Fuck this truck.
Well, but before he goes to Mars, he needs to just, I guess, run everything and be in charge of whatever he feels like. You know, so last week Elon was talking about on Twitter, he was tweeting about whether there needs to be a new social media platform that honors free speech and whatever else, like, and kind of hinting at the fact, like, maybe he's going to create his own competitor, Twitter, and stuff like that. Well, I guess he decided against that because he just spent $3 billion on Twitter this week and is now the largest shareholder in Twitter at like 9% of their total shares, which is such a like absolutely massive purchase.
Well, like he just kind of like took a page out of Google's book, right? Like, and like, why innovate when you can just, when you have more money than God and you can just buy it? You know what I mean? Like it's been Google's MO. That's been Facebook's MO. Like, fuck innovation. Let everybody else make something really cool. And then when it's got proof of stake, we'll just spend all the money on the planet to buy it up. And now it's ours. Fuck R&D. I'm wondering how this plays out.
I'm really curious on what's this going to do, right? I mean, yeah, he's now almost got 10% of the stake of the company, but I don't know. What does that really let him do? Like, he doesn't control it. He's not going to really be able to fix what he doesn't like about Twitter, right? He talks about Twitter being the de facto public town square, but they don't allow free speech like a town square should, right? And he talks about whether it undermines democracy. Well, you're not going to fix that as a 10% owner, are you?
Well,
I don't know. Maybe this gives him a little bit of flexing power on the board. The proverbial seat at the table to direct it.
What kind of powered on the board does he have now, you know, being the like leading shareholder? Like, can he send somebody into some like meetings to at least flex a little bit?
Yeah, I really don't know. Probably, right? I'm sure, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's got a seat at the table now, so he can probably steer it, but he doesn't still control it.
Is this the beginning of a hostile takeover? Like, is this how hostile takeovers work?
Maybe. When you just spent $3 billion on Twitter, but that only accounts for like 2% of your net worth, then I guess you still got room to go, right? Like,
it's only 2% of his net worth, but it's also only 9% of Twitter. So, like, we're talking about numbers that neither one of us can comprehend.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's an interesting move. We'll see down the road where Elon takes Twitter from here. All right, that's really it for just kind of the general tech topics. Let's do one quick space thing, just because this is pretty interesting to end the show on. And there is apparently now a huge space balloon that can take tourists up to space for $125,000 per ticket.
Nope.
So you're gonna take this ride?
Not at all. Not at all. Like, dude, this is I don't know,
this makes sense to me, though, right?
I've seen recently even us on, like, Instagram reels of, no. Like, I've seen hot air balloon crashes, bro. Like, I've seen them on video. Like, I'm not, there's a hot air balloon festival in my town every summer, and I go to it, and I look at these cool balloons and people taking rides, and I'm just, like, flabbergasted as to the amount of people that will get into a fucking wicker basket strapped to a fucking balloon filled with hot air and ride it up hundreds of fucking feet. That blows my mind. Like, I'm not afraid of heights, but I do have a general fear and respect for the things that bring me up that high. And wicker basket and air are not the things that get me to go up that high.
Yeah, well, here's what I know. Yes, it's 125 grand, but it's about a quarter of the price of what it costs you to go up on Virgin Galactic, which is a kind of a spaceship on the top of a 747 that gets launched out of there. And, like, to me, that's even worse.
How's it worse?
It's a worse experience. It's a worse experience. It's shorter. This, at least you got 6 hours. It's got a bar. You got drinks. You got a bathroom. You got all kinds of things while you're up in this balloon. It's nice and smooth on the way up and down. There's no craziness to it, and it's a
no
quarter
no
price.
Craziness at
if
all.
If I've got
no craziness at all, you're just strapped to a fucking weather balloon with a bar inside. There's no craziness. This is completely normal. At least the Virgin Galactic plane and all those other options, they're modern forms of aviation. They've proven track records of going up in the air and coming down safely. Like, we've kind of mastered flight at this fucking point. I feel way better coming back to Earth in the fucking plane than I do. Like,
all right, how about, so you're more confident in the plane? Are you more confident in the dick ship, Bezos' Blue Origin flights, which also cost 5 times as much as this?
Yeah, I'm not getting in the cock rocket. I'm not getting in the cock rocket either. So I am on board with this as long as the inaugural fucking flight, someone dresses up like the couple from Up. Like,
just some cosplayers go out there.
If some rich assholes go in, like, either the couple or the old man, the Boy Scout, and the dog. Like, just, like, if you go on, I'll fully sign off on this. Like, I fully back it. But if not, y'all are just some crazy, like, and when that thing comes burning back to the earth, I'm not going to feel bad for you at all.
All right. Well, that's a weekend news. As always, thanks for listening. And you go join us over on our private Facebook group over there at nerdcantina.com/community. If you got a minute, I don't know, go leave some notes, some review on Apple Podcasts or something like that. Let's see if we can't keep this thing going longer. We just crossed over 3 years last week, and we're going to keep doing this for a while longer.
And we got 2 weeks. We got episode 200, and we're not going to do anything special. So don't set your expectations that high.
All right. Well, until next week, talk to you later, nerds.
See ya.